Hi there, this is Ross Conrad. I'll be reading to you my article that appeared in the 2023 edition, February 23 edition of Bee Culture magazine. It's titled The Electrical World of the Honeybee. It has been said that honeybees have been studied and written about more than any other subject, second only to ourselves. Certainly, our deep understanding of bees is part of what makes them so fascinating. Yet, for all we know about bees, there's much we still do not understand. One area of inquiry in which we have only scratched the surface of our knowledge is the role electricity plays in the life of the colony. It is well established that insects become electrostatically charged when walking or when their body parts are rubbed together. And insect cuticles in general display the tendency to become positively charged. This phenomenon is similar to the static electricity generated when we walk across a wool carpet or rub an inflated balloon against our hair. It is also clear that bees become charged with a weak electric charge when flying through the air. How this occurs is not clear, however. There are two main theories why this happens. One is that it is a result of friction. The other is that the flying bee picks up positively charged ion particles, called cations, from the air. Which one is true? Do both potential charging methods play a role? We do not know. What we do know is that since bees are quite small, they experience weak electrical fields much more profoundly than we do. Now, flowers are electrically connected to the earth and pick up a negative charge through electrostatic induction. Bees pick up a positive charge as they fly through the air. The bee's body surface charge facilitates pollination, since flowers are negatively charged and the bees are positively charged. The attraction of pollen to bees due to their opposite polarity allows pollen to defy gravity, moving against the Earth's gravitational forces in order to stick to the surface of the bee and become lodged in its body hairs. The acquisition and maintenance of charge on a bee appears key to their ability to detect electrical fields such as that on a flower. While it seems clear that the static electric charge aids in pollen collection by foragers, do these electrical forces between the bee and the flower allow the forager to also assess floral rewards and perhaps allow them to tell which flowers have been recently visited by another pollinator and which have not, and therefore which blossoms are worth taking the time to investigate and which are a waste of time? Some research indicates that the change in electrical charge created by pollinator visits to blossoms stimulates some flowers to release more of their scent, thus increasing their chances of being pollinated. Since flowers have a limited supply of scent, some appear to prefer to release it when pollinators are around. After all, it makes sense that the best time to advertise is when you know you have an audience. Meanwhile, agrochemicals, such as synthetic fertilizers and the neonicotinoid imidacloprid, have been shown to affect bumblebee foraging behavior by changing the magnitude and dynamic of electrical cues given off by the treated blossoms. Researchers found that the biophysical responses in the plant's modified floral electrical field appeared to disturb the ability of the bees to sense the electrical fields, causing them to approach the electrically manipulated flowers less often, land less often on the flowers they did approach, and all this reduced bumblebee foraging efficiency. In addition, the bioelectrical potential of the chemically treated flowers were impacted for a longer duration than the changes observed by natural phenomena, like the wind or a bee landing on a flower. This raises questions about what other pesticides might influence the electrical fields of flowers. And while this has been shown to impact bumblebees, does it also affect honeybees? The honeybee appears to perceive weak electrical fields through the two joints of the antenna known as the Johnston's organ. Bumblebees can also detect electrical fields with their antenna, but appear to do so more effectively using their body hairs. Like a sapling bending in the wind, the bee hairs and antenna alert the bee to oppositely charged electrical fields. Now, this raises the question, do honeybee hairs or other rigid cantilevered body parts carrying an electrical charge and subject to an external electrical force also bend toward or away from electrically charged objects? No one really knows. Bees appear to detect and use aerial electrical fields not only in the context of foraging, but also during in-hive communications over short distances. Research suggests that part of the waggle dance includes low-frequency oscillating electrical stimuli from electrically charged vibrating foragers to other yet-to-be-recruited foragers while doing the dance. Does the honeybee use its antenna for other forms of electroreception communication as well? Exactly how bees respond, learn from or exploit electrical fields in their natural habitat and within social contexts is not entirely clear. And how does rain, high humidity, or winds impact the floral electrical fields the bees rely on? Since each bee carries with it a small electrical charge, what happens when a large group of them swarm? A recent study suggests that honeybees contribute to atmospheric electricity in proportion to the size and density of the swarm that issues from a colony. Researchers calculated that a swarm has enough charge to affect the atmospheric electrical field known as the potential gradient, that's the voltage difference between the Earth's surface and a point often 1 meter above it. The effect on the atmospheric electrical field was proportional to the swarm density. Similar impacts can be observed in swarms of locusts, though their impact is much greater since locust swarms can cover hundreds of square miles and pack between 40 and 80 million locusts in less than half a square mile. The study authors hypothesize that insects can have similar effects on atmospheric electricity as weather events do, since at the ground level where they made their measurements, the strength of the honeybee swarm's electrical field was comparable to the kinds of changes in electric fields that we see during a thunderstorm. Does this mean we need to include the role of insects in geological modeling of atmospheric changes? Scientists have long wondered, for example, what forces can carry sand particles from the Sahara Desert across an ocean. Could atmospheric changes brought on by the electric fields given off by insects help to explain the long-distance dust transportation that has been documented in nature but cannot be explained by physical processes such as wind and updrafts alone? Perhaps the charged-up bees' electrical fields even add to the electrifying effect the sight of a swarm has on us beekeepers. So many questions, so few answers. And this is just one small area of inquiry into the amazing and mysterious world of the honeybee. This is Ross Conrad, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen.